Our young people can be dismissed this morning. Brother Desmond has them. And Sister Jackie has our kids. And for everybody else, I will be directing your attention to two portions of Scripture this morning. Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, and then we will be from there going over to John chapter 5. Ezekiel 47, she's okay. She's going to be just fine. Some of us come to church like that this morning. Had to drag our flesh to the house of God today. I was sleeping good, but I know this is the day that the Lord hath made. Brother Dempsey, I've come to rejoice and be glad in it. Ezekiel 47 and verse 1 says, "And afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house, and at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward." That is a mouthful. "And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when he, the man, had the line in his hand, went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters." I said, he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the brink of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said unto me, these waters issued out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. This morning I'm thankful that there are waters that will flow into the desert parts of my life. And the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether the river cometh. And if you'll turn over to John chapter 5, and I'm going to begin in verse 2. And it says, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches, and in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever so disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. For when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. This morning, this guy and John had no clue who was talking to him. He just said, Brother Thomas, he said, sir, I have an excuse. But if he would have known who was asking if he would be made whole, he would have did something completely different. He would have held his unbelief. He would have held to that excuse, because whenever Jesus is on the move, I can guarantee you that whatever he has come to accomplish, it will be accomplished. This morning, if you'll lay your Bibles down and you lift your hands toward heaven, God, we ask, Lord, that the Holy Ghost would be poured out in this place. God, I pray that the anointing would fall right now, God. Even so, this very same hour, God, I pray when the word goes forth, God, it's mingled with faith, God, and we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. God, we ask, Lord, that whatever you have planned for the rest of this service, God, that it would be accomplished, God, and let your will be done in this place today. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you can be seated. Do not put my title up there just yet. This morning, as we were getting ready, my wife began to play a song. And what's the name of that song? It's called Always On Time. And I began to listen to the lyrics and I'm like, okay. I can take that little gentle nudge. And then I got here to the church this morning and Brother Desmond was looking over the material for our young people. And of course, Brother Desmond knows the scripture that I'm using. He knows the title of today's message. And because I sent that to him in a text before I got here, and he stopped me. He said, have you seen the lesson for today? I said, no. I said, I have it. Don't take a look at it. I'm not a teacher. I don't have no need to look at the youth curriculum for today. And he showed it to me, and just during pre-service prayer, I began to look at our word for this year's restoration. I began to look past the word into the background of the image, and I said, okay, God, I said, I hear what you're saying. I have confidence that I feel like I have a word this morning. So Brother Duran, if you'll go ahead and put it up there. Step into the water. Step into the water. Brother Dempsey, you were talking about stepping out today. Brother Duran, you were talking about stepping out today. Brother Desmond was talking about stepping out today. So if it's for nobody else, I'm going to preach to myself. Step into the water. Step into the water. Ezekiel saw a river flowing from the house of God. He saw it first as ankle deep. Sometimes in our life, Brother Wilson, we're just in ankle deep water. But as Ezekiel was shown more, it became to the knee. And this morning, while there may be some people under the sound of my voice that are in ankle deep water, there are those that are also in knee deep water. And as Ezekiel was shown even further, the scripture tells us the man with a line in his hand, the man that was doing the measuring, took him a little bit farther, and it was to his loins or to his waist. And now today, because we have such a good crowd this morning, I know that there are some folks in their journey with God who are only in ankle deep water. Sister LaToya, while others are in knee deep water. And then there are some that have treaded into hip deep waters. But as he was shown, Ezekiel said that there were waters that were above my head. There are waters that I could not pass through myself. And this morning, the scripture tells us in Ezekiel that wherever that water flows, wherever that river flows, including the desert places of our life, life is sustainable. In John chapter 5, we see a man laying at a pool of Bethesda. In translation, Bethesda literally means the house of mercy. For 38 years, this man, he waited for someone to help him into a little pool of water when it was stirred. This morning, I'm glad, Brother Dempsey, that I don't have to wait till a certain season for a small body of water to be stirred. But I know that in the Spirit there is life, and life more abundantly. The Bible tells us, or it at least alludes to the fact that water flowed from the temple of God. Was it literal water? No, I don't believe so. Ezekiel was a prophet. I believe what he was seeing was the Spirit of God. This morning, you may only be treading in ankle-deep water. Some of you may only be in waters up to your knees. Let me tell you, that is okay. But what God really wants from you is to step deeper into the Spirit. This morning, there is a drawing, if you will, for us to come into the water or to the Spirit. But as this man was waiting for that certain season, for that certain time when that angel would come down and stir the water, the only thing is, in 38 long years, that man never made it to the water. However, then a man shows up. Not just any man, but the Lamb of God. The man, Christ Jesus, for in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here is the main point I want you to take home with you today. This is it. This is the whole thesis of today's message. Wherever Jesus is, water is always troubled. Wherever Jesus is, water is always moving. There's always life, and there's always healing, and there's always restoration in the Spirit. It may not come the way that you think it ought to come, Brother Dempsey. It may not come in a little box, all prim and pretty with a little bow on top, but it may look like a devastation. It may look like chaos in the beginning, but I've come to tell somebody today, as long as you stay in the Spirit, there is life. This had been a place, this pool of Bethesda had been a place for religious ceremonies in times past, a place of spiritual cleansing. But because of its convenience, its porches and its covered cloves, over time it lost its importance. The reverence for the place was muddied, if you will, and it became a place that was neglected. It was later on, after some time, that it would be repurposed and used medicinally. I can't tell you how many times driving up and down the road that I see places that were once called a house of worship that are now something else. A place where people would come and they would reverence the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A place where they would come as a corporate body and they would lift up hands and magnify the Lord has now been repurposed for something other than corporate worship. It breaks my heart. But then I see other places that used to be something else. They had another purpose in mind when they were built. And on that billboard, or on the front of that building, it now says, whatever church. You see, man has the ability to take things that are holy, that are reverenced, and that are to be separated from the world, and they can use them for things that are not of God. You don't believe me? Go look in the Old Testament. Had a king. And he had a party. And he told him, he said, go get the instruments. Go get the things that are holy and that have been consecrated to the worship of God. And we're going to use them and we're going to defile them. And what happens? He had a, that's right, Brother Jose, there a hand appeared. But on the other hand, on the other hand, we can take things that just look commonplace and God can meet us right ever, wherever, and however we need Him to. As long as there's water. How many times have we as humanity reduced the place that we use for spiritual cleansing and we reduce it to something lesser than what it is? Because of its convenience, because of the comfortable amenities, how do we reverence the house of God? Have we neglected the house of God? Have we neglected the things of God? Has the house of God lost its importance? I would say, as a culture, yes, we have. But I also know that God uses things to draw humanity back to Him. And while maybe the last generation has forsaken the things of God, there is a generation that is rising up, and they want the authentic, genuine move of God, and they can discern the things of God from the things that are unholy. That's why we better have a prayer life. We better fast. We better have a time set aside every day to read our Bibles. Because there is a generation rising up that's going to need us to lead them in the ways of righteousness. They're going to need a mentor or a teacher to show them how to navigate the waters. Because church, regardless of where we may be living at, we are in uncharted waters. And I'm not talking about the Spirit of God. I'm talking about turbulent forces of evil now. I've switched it. Because we know that the Scripture tells us that even Satan can appear as an angel of light. And we better have a prayer life. We better have a time where we have consecrated our day to the Lord. And we better be fasting where we can have discernment to understand the things that are of God and the things that are not of God. The Bible tells us that, man, this is not even in my notes, I'm already out there in the water this morning. It tells us that we need to try the Spirit and see if they be of God, because I've come to tell you, the devil is a roaring lion and he's seeking whom he can devour. So this morning, if you're only in ankle deep water, if you're only in knee-deep water, if you're only in hip-deep water, there is a source of water that you can swim in and you can be inundated in the Spirit today. Wherever you go in this world, as long as you have that river that's flowing eastward, I've come to tell you that wherever you walk, you can be led of the Spirit. We don't have to walk around wondering, well, is this what I should be doing today? Is this the place that I should go and pick up my groceries from today, Brother Jose? How many times do we wake up in the morning and the last thing we think about is, God, what would you have me do today? Are we praying over the places that we go? Are we thinking about, or is it in the forefront of our mind of what God would have us do today? Because you can't control a river. When I worked for the USDA, we would have to go and survey the land because we dealt in wetland. And a river cannot be controlled. Oh yeah, you can trench it out and you can make it straight. But if it is left up to its own ability, it can carve out its own path. And let me tell you that when you are in waters over your head, you really can't control where you go. Lord, I want to be in water. God, you know what? If you need me to go here today, I'll go here today. Oh, no, you need me over here. There's somebody over here that needs a word from you today. God, I want to be that vessel that can be led of the Spirit. God, wherever that river flows, I want to be there. I can tell you that somewhere along the way in our country, the church has become nothing but an afterthought. It has become neglected, and corporate worship has taken a back seat to absolutely everything. We use any excuse, any appointment that we can pencil in, and it's like, oh, well, I guess I can make it to the next one. I do that with doctor's appointments. Well, you know, maybe the doctor don't need to see me really today. Or maybe I can push off that customer till next week. I really don't want to deal with Nosy Ned today or Pessimist Pete. But we have to come to the realization that the things of God have to take priority in our life. The Bible tells us that seek ye first the kingdom, then everything else. The reason that we tend to lack in our life is because we have things out of priority. We have things that are of low importance at the high. And we have things that should be at the high point of our list, maybe not even there, or they're really low. I heard this week this man was talking. He said, I have two lists. He said, I have a list of things that I worry about. He said, and then I have things on this other list that God's told me to give to him. My do not worry list. He said, and everything that gives me problems is on the list that I won't turn over to God. I was like, eek. I said, Lord, do I have things on my list like that? I do. I'm sure you do too. Why? He cares for us. Brother Wilson, he died on a cross for us. The Word tells us if he's fed the birds and he's fed the fish and he's clothed the valley and he provides everything that this stuff that don't, that's just temporal. It's going to burn with fervent heat. If he cares for that, he cares for me. That's why he says, take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own stuff to worry about. He said, my grace for today is sufficient. I fear that we have repurposed the place of God that cleanses us to a place where we can come and complain. A place where we can find fault. Or simply just to mark off a box to sear our conscience. Because we know we live in the Bible Belt. And we know that on Sundays we go to church. On Wednesdays or Tuesdays or Thursdays, whatever the scheduled time is, we go to church. It's Bible study. We check that off. And we think that just because we check that box off, just because we make a tick in that space, that we're okay. Can I tell you, there may be a day not so far from where we're living in where we may not be able to join corporately as a body. And if you can't swim, if you can't traverse the river, you may drown. And I know that's really heavy, and I'm sorry. It's not in my notes, but this is where the Spirit wants me to go. I'm going to go there. We have to be able to survive. Well, I know that in China, they have a similar situation, and they go underground. And I know in other parts of the world that, you know, we call them hard to reach places. They're undisclosed. We have missionaries there. We can't tell you about it because they're doing a secretive work. But in America, they did it during COVID. Shut the churches down. How many people have still not come back to church after COVID? I understand about staying home if you're sick, and I pray that you do. I pray that you go to the doctor or do something holistically to take care of whatever's ailing you. But if it's afforded us the opportunity now and we neglect to take care of it, we might see churches as a whole become something else. We already have, in a sense. There's these places people go, and it's called Seeker Salvation, Brother Jose. And they go and they look. They're looking for a program. They're looking for something that benefits them. They're called churches. And they want to know, what do you have for me? What can you provide my family? And I understand the need for ministries. Absolutely. I promise you, if we didn't have a Sunday school here, I would be asking, hey, can we start a Sunday school? Because kids are distracting. But we have ministries. But they're learning in there. They're being taught the Word of God in there. You don't believe me? Slip in there one Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I promise you, the teachers in there are teaching them the Word. And I also know this, that parents are teaching the Word at home. We got two things going for us today. We have people who love the Lord, and they bring their children to church, and they love them so much that they teach them the Word of God at home. Let me tell you, there's some kids today right now that go to our public school systems that don't even know who Jesus is. We live in a pagan culture. Jesus, Peter, Paul, Moses, Abraham, they don't know them. Do not know them, because the things of God by a previous generation were neglected and they've been substituted for something else. On this particular day at the Pool of Bethesda, Christ decided that he was going to show up in a repurposed pool near a sheep market. Now you got the Lamb of God at a sheep market. That's kind of funny. You got sheep who are being sold for sacrifices, and then you have the Lamb of God show up. That's ironic. You can't make this stuff up. You want a good laugh? Begin to read your Bible. There's some funny stuff. The parallels that are made, you just got to get into it. But the scripture goes specifically into details of what diseases the masses had that lay day after day after day at these porches, the blind, the halt, the withered, either in a particular part or as a paralytic and whole. This was the place where those who had been born with disease came, who became ill later on in life. Either way, they had come to this particular place, this house of mercy, the place where men's love and God's mercy collided in hopes that they would be the first into this pool when the angel of the Lord troubled it. All they would have to do is step into the water. I can imagine that some lay on the water's edge. And I would lay down here and illustrate and then like fall off like I was. But if I do that, I'm afraid, Brother Jose, you would have to help me up. But they would lay there in anticipation for the moving of the water. Can I come and I ask you this question today? Did you come to the house of God with an anticipation that the Spirit was going to be poured out today? Did you come with an anticipation that miracles, signs, and wonders could be in our presence today? Did you come today with an expectation that says, Lord, if you can use anything, I will be a conduit of your Spirit today? God, if you need me to pray with somebody, just lead me. If I need to go and be an encouraging tone of voice in somebody's ear, God, would you give me the words to speak? And that's what they done. Day after day after day, they came with the expectation that any moment could be my season. That at any moment, unannounced to me, that God would send a Theophany and he would stir up the waters, the healing waters, the waters that would hold all the keys to their problems. And they did it day after day after day. And only knowing, this is the crazy thing about humanity, and knowing that only one person would be healed that day. That only one person would receive the restoration that they were looking for. But it didn't matter, because if that person got their healing today, that means I move a little closer to what I am needing from the Lord. There was an expectation in their spirit that says, God, I know you're working over here, but if I will stay steadfast right here, that river's going to flow right on past me. And the person that's waiting to my left is going to receive what they need. This is some good stuff. It's all coming to me in my mind. It's not in here, but this is what I'm talking about. If we can be led of the Spirit, if we'll just listen to that still small voice, the Lord is able to accomplish more in us and through us if we would just go with the flow. Go with the flow. The angel for this man never troubled the water when he was close enough to be there. At other times, it seems as if someone else had always moved in line before him, before he could position himself. Let me tell you, the way that God operates through humanity is through posture and position. I'll say that again. God deals with humanity based on our posture and our position. Jacob was at a place where his grandfather and his father had built altars, and he used it for a pillow. And when he had the encounter with God, he said, I didn't even know that God was here. Why? Because something that was sacred and holy and was used to commune with God in times past had become a place where he could lay his head in comfort. Brother Dempsey, you laid the head of the hammer right on the nail this morning. We have to be able to be out of our comfort zones because, listen, I understand complacency. Complacency comes when we are secure. When we are secure. But God is asking us to come just a little bit deeper. Yeah, we may be in ankle water. He's calling us to knee-deep water. Those that are in hip water, he's asking us to be in waters that we can swim in. We have people who are spiritually and physically diseased in the middle of our communities with a church less than a mile in any one direction from them. I know I said church. We have people who are physically and spiritually diseased, Brother Jose, and they walk in the grocery store with the child of God. Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, and all them cats. What did they do? They went wherever the Spirit led them. Wherever God told them to go, they went. The Scripture says that though... He said, those that have turned the world upside down have now come to us. Let me tell you, it matters what you do in your day. It matters what you say to people in public. It matters the way that you carry yourself, because the waters can flow through us. The Bible says that it shall become a river of living water, and it springs up, right? So, Brother Jose, wherever I darken a door, I can be the river that they are looking for. I can be that answer to prayer that they've been praying for. Brother Dempsey, I can be that miracle that they're looking for. I can be a conduit for which the Spirit flows through. We just have to step into the water. And I'm out there. Whew, I'm out there. The grocery store, oh, if you'll step into it, there'll be a river flowing through it. That business, Brother Thomas, that you man, that telephone that we answer in our day-to-day life, it can have a river flowing through it. Because let me tell you, the river just don't abide. Listen, the Scripture says that it flowed. That's bad English. It flowed, Brother Wilson. It flew up out of here, but it flows eastward, and it flows to the south, and it flows to the north. Listen, this is just a place where we corporately gather to draw strength from each other, but the river flows through us today. God has chosen humanity as a conduit for His Spirit, not only to reside. Listen, the best kept secret is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that. That means that they're far off, the river can reach and grab them. That wayward child, the Spirit, Brother Dempsey, can reach toward them. This morning, He's just looking for a conduit. He's just looking for somebody that'll say, you know what? That source can flow eastward from me. That source can flow westward out of me. God, whatever you need from me, you can use me. John 14, 13 and 14 says, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Let me tell you, when you take a sip of that living water, once you take a handful of that and you begin to drink, there's something, it activates a well on the inside, and it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Not just one. Not just one. But rivers. Because God cannot be contained to only one channel. The Spirit of God is able to bust it open. It can carve out. It's called a wandering of the river. And it can carve out a path. That's why it's so important that we be in prayer. That's why it's so important that we fast. It's so important while we gather together for corporate worship. Because guess what? I may be a little tired, but there's something that the Spirit inside of you can draw from. Yeah. I think so. If not, it still makes for good preaching. I know it might seem like a season of revival. It may seem like a season where we call a fast, or we may have a special service. And then we tap in to the Spirit. That's crazy. That's selfish. That's self-serving. Because we have a lost and dying world. It's a desert place. There's no life in it. Paul says that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. He also said, while you were dead. You know that we have people that are walking around our towns, our cities, our communities that are dead? Because they don't have the river. They don't have the source. Do I have to have the Holy Ghost? Why wouldn't you want the Holy Ghost? Why wouldn't you want to be baptized in His Spirit? Why would you not want to be a conduit for which the Spirit can flow through you? The disciples were asked for money.
And this keeps coming back to me, and I don't know why. It says, this man, every day, persistent. Alms, 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 alms. And guess where they were going? Where were they going, Brother Thomas? They were going to the house of prayer. And guess what? They didn't say, hey, come here, beggar. You need some money?
Yes, sir.
I do too. They didn't say, you know what? Come go to church with me. Come go to church with me. Because that's what we do, right? Because that's what we've been taught all our life. You need something, you can come to church with me. That's not what they'd done. They said, such as I have. What do you have? What do you have? Is it just carnality? Thank you. Or do you have the Spirit on the inside? Because let me tell you, yes, we do want them to come to church, and we do want to disciple them, and we do want to mentor them. But God is not regulated to four walls and a roof. He said, know ye not that you are the temple of the... Whatever it needs, they have need of this morning. It can be found in the Spirit that flows through you. This ain't in my notes. Just flowing. Because what I thought of, Brother Jose, I can put it into a 5-point presentation. I can give you 3 points in a point, and I can give a call to response. But I just want to be a conduit. I just want to be something from which the Spirit of God can flow not only in but through. Because we have a mission that says, go ye therefore into all nations and teach them and baptize them and make disciples of them. Ezekiel said that it will flow into the desert, the things that have no life. Listen, you cannot sustain life in a desert place. If there's no water source, you can't survive. Go a week without drinking something and see what happens to you. Go 2 weeks without any water and see what happens to you. I promise you will become a desert place. I don't get enough water, I start getting dry skin. Why? Because the water's starting to suck up. The life is starting to leave my body. Oh, God, I need your river to flow into the desert places of my life. God, there's places that I've not allowed you to flow into. God, I need you this morning to flow into those places. It doesn't look like life is able to be sustained. But this morning, I know that I have a promise and I have a purpose. God, let that river flow to those places. Our problem isn't position or posture. But most of the time, the issues are within our own minds. I can't, because others will see me as inferior. Can I be really transparent with y'all this morning? And I really need to be closing. I asked God one time, only once, for a double portion of anointing, Brother Jose. It was the wrong thing to ask. God's like, okay, boy, you want double? Don't ask for it. It ain't nice. Because in order for a double anointing to flow, that means you have to go through twice the pressing. Enough of us are pressed enough in life that we're okay with a single dose of it, right? We're like, God, okay, I'm done with this process. Can you please stop? Brother Wilson, in foolishness, I asked because I saw it in the Bible. You know, the Bible says that a man
needs to sit down and calculate the cost. Brother Jose, it was an emotional thing because the spirit was flowing. I was like, God, whatever you got, I want all of it. We're not able to handle all of that. I'm getting there. I'm sorry. I'm working some courage up because I'm going to sound crazy. I talked about how COVID shut our churches down in great multitude. And I was like, I was like everybody else. COVID's from the government and whatever. Okay. Like, it ain't real. These folks are, you know, it's like a sugar tablet, you know. What do they call those things? A placebo. Thank you. Got some folks with some medical terminology. I couldn't think of the word. A placebo, right? Like, people are just getting it because they hear somebody else get it. I just kept on with life because I needed to make some money and, you know, three kids to feed. And so I'm going through, and I'll be honest with you, I was not living to my full purpose. There are some things in my life that I did not fully surrender to God. There were some giftings that I would not operate in because I was scared. And that's okay. It's okay to have a reverence for the giftings and the callings of God. But Brother Jose, I wouldn't yield to him. So I catch COVID, and there for a week, I don't remember much of nothing. My wife said I was in the bedroom gasping for air, and I asked her why she didn't call for an ambulance, and we have life insurance, I guess. Whatever. So there's a week I don't remember, and I'm not sure if it was what she done or what the doctor gave me, but I don't remember. But what I do remember, Brother Jose, is that after about 10 days, I begin to feel better. And so I'm just going to hop up and go back to doing whatever I was doing. And the Lord's like, oh, boy. He said, I need to talk to you. So I go get back in bed, and the Lord said, there are some places that I want to take you. There are some things, some promises. He said, but you're going to have to yield to my voice. I'm not going to say I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I'm not going to say I've not heard the audible voice of God. To me, it was just like me talking to you right now. He said, if you'll just trust me and you'll listen, he said, I can take you further than you ever imagined. I said, I've lost it. I said, okay. Okay, God. And so, get better, I go back to work and was doing some work on a house. Had my own business, wood shop, and we were remodeling a house. And I was there by myself. Nobody else was there. And I had earbuds in. I had headphones on. Ear protectors, because I had a orbital sander going and I had a shop vac going to keep the dust down. And I hear my name. And I kind of just like looked up over the counter because I was down on the ground. I kind of looked up and I was like, yeah. I thought the homeowner was there, you know. Nothing. So I go back to sanding and I hear my name again. Everything gets shut off at this point. Everything in the ears get taken out. The headphones come off. And I get up and I start to look around. And I said, I have really lost it. I have really, really lost my mind. Whatever this mess I had, it's been affecting other people's like hearts and lungs. This thing's messed with my mind. I got like botulism or something. And I called my pastor. And I said, I'm losing it. I said, I don't know. I said, I'm hearing one thing. He said, well, maybe God trying to talk to you. I said, it could be a genetic form of schizophrenia, and it could have encapsulated me. Because what you don't know is that runs in my family. You know what schizophrenia is? Voices in the head. And so my flesh is like, you want to go see somebody, buddy, before this gets really bad. And then the conversation that I had in the bed about 3 weeks before is like, if you'll listen, I'm like, oh, God. I've seen these folks, they're in jackets, they're usually in padded rooms, and they're locked up forever, and people forget about them, and the world goes on. And I said, okay, I'll listen, but I'm not going to do nothing. The next time I hear this thing, still small voice, the Spirit, we're on way to take my nanny some chicken and dumplings that my wife had made, homemade, made for her. She was in the hospital. I think Mom called me. My aunt had been to the hospital. They said that she had double pneumonia. She had a deflated lung. And they took x-rays. And they were sending her to the main hospital. Well, we get there. And, you know, Brother Dempsey, how we look for church. You know, you're supposed to be in a suit and tie. You're supposed to be, you know, well manicured. Walking in power and authority and dominion and all this religious terminology. And but Jose, I'm wearing some work clothes. Matter of fact, I think I got shorts on. And I look up because we're just going in there to drop off some food for my grandmother. We're going back to the house. We get out and there's my aunt. That voice popped up again. I said, He said, go pray for her. I said, gosh, she needs a medical doctor. She don't need me. He said, go pray for her. I said, Lord, I don't feel nothing. Like, I ain't shaved. I ain't got a suit on. I ain't got a long sleeve shirt on. I ain't got some socks, you know, and some nice shoes on. I ain't fasted today. I'm pretty sure that I've got a bad attitude earlier in traffic. I was like, pray for her? I was like, I don't even got no oil. He's like, you going to make excuses or are you going to go pray for her? I said, okay. So I go bebopping up there. In my mind, I look like a fool. That's okay. God says he's used the foolish things. Don't be amening me on that, Becky. I'm not talking about me being a fool. It's okay to laugh. I need a little bit of nervous laughter. So I go up and I pray for her. Contrary to what my mind thinks is going to happen, the heavens did not open up. A voice didn't come out of nothing. Lightning didn't hit her. Nothing. I just pray for her. God, touch her. Touch her lungs. Touch her body. And she said, okay. Gets up and goes in the hospital. I'm like, that was anticlimactic. Okay, cool. So I take the dumplings and some Gatorade and I take it and I drop it off at the desk or whatever. And I leave. I go back. I was like, well, that was not profitable for me. There I am in my selfishness again, thinking it's all about me. We get a phone call, I don't know, hour or two later. They did x-rays before at the clinic where she was at, needed x-rays when she got to the hospital. From the time she drove from one facility to the other, no pneumonia, no deflated lung, and they have it on both x-rays. Of course, in my mind, I'm thinking they sent the wrong x-ray. They read the x-ray wrong. Something happened. I said something happened. Doesn't matter who it is. Family, friend, foe, adversary, the person that causes you so much hostility at work. You can stand. If we can just be the conduit through which the Spirit can flow. Now I'm going to tell you, that's not the first time that's happened. That was the first time that had happened. It's not been the only time that's happened. And if we will just be mindful, and when I say mindful, I mean prayerful. Sorry. Y'all are not in my head. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying unless I tell you what I'm saying. We have to be prayerful because there are people that need us to be full of the Holy Ghost. Like a cup overflowing. We get what we need and the rest falls out onto the side. It flows where it can go. So this week, be prayerful about the places you go to, the people that you encounter. Because I promise you this, there are people out there that are looking for a source of life. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that they may have life, and they may have life more abundantly. All we have to do is step into the water. That's all we have to do. You got one more. This is why I was not a good student, brother. Jose, I can't stay on task. This morning, the Word of God has gone forth. And I said this earlier. And it will accomplish its purpose. But it takes a little mingling of faith. Well, do you have scripture for that? Absolutely. I have scripture for it. Hebrews 4:2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Let me tell you, the word of God can go forth. It can be preached with such fervency, such conviction. It can have a death grip on you. I know, I've been in services like that where people have white-knuckled the chairs in front of them under conviction. But it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What's that mean? God. Oh man, I wish I could think of this stuff on my own. God has always chosen to deal through humanity. It's there. The source is free flowing. But if not mixed with faith, here's the thing. Us preachers can get up here and we can preach to y'all till we're red in the face. And the word will accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. That's in the book too.
But it doesn't benefit nobody if it's not mixed with faith. If you don't take the word and mingle your faith, it will not benefit anybody. These altars are open. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And let us not be only hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. Why? Where we won't deceive ourselves. This morning, the word's gone forth, and there's faith in the house. Are there some desert places that you need the Lord to just run a river through? Are there people that you know that could be considered desert places that they really need a river to run through? I can't be the only one that has people that I love lost and undone. I can't be the only one, Brother Thomas, that have acquaintances that I know that need a loving Savior to redeem them. And I'll tell you this, I'm not so closed-minded to think that, well, if you don't act on it, they'll never hear the truth. I don't believe that. Because the Spirit can carve a path. Sister Amy, I would rather be the conduit through which God uses than be the conduit that's closed off to His Spirit. God, don't pass me by. But I've seen too much. I've been a part of too many things. But I know this, if my faith is not mingled with the Word, it benefits nobody. First me, second somebody else. Let me tell you, it can cascade over and over and over again. This morning these altars are open as they begin to play and sing. I would ask, Lord, that You would just move upon our people today, God. Lord, that your Word would mingle with their faith, God. Lord, that it would accomplish what it needs to accomplish, God. Lord, let that river flow through us today. God, we need a moving, a true moving, a genuine moving of the Holy Ghost, God. Lord, we need that river that springs up into everlasting life. God, I want to be a conduit, God, for which You can flow through, God. I want to be able, God, to say, such as I have, give I unto Thee. God, if it's a healing, if it's a miracle, God, if it's the recovering of sight to the blind, if it's the unstopping of deaf ears, God, if it's the preached Word of God, that I may be instant in season, God, Lord, that I can be a willing vessel today. God, I give it all to You.